Hey, it's the Shroud, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 108 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The time, 7:38 p.m. Central Standard Time. The date, May 30th, 2018. It is the eve before DreamHack Austin festivities start for most of us, as I don't work tomorrow.
'Tis the time before Christmas.
I will be your host for this evening, at least one of them. My name is Tim. Hello. The voice you just heard was Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
What's up, fellas?
What's up? We also have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up, guys?
Gentlemen, I think this will be the best episode ever. Not only do we have e-news that we scrambled minutes before the show started, Rocket League Season 5, their world championship, is happening next weekend. Not this upcoming one, but in about a week and a half or so.
9 days, man.
And we are giving Brett the floor.
Man.
To discuss that. So,
I'm so nervous.
We'll see how that goes. Hopefully you'll hold your own. I believe in you.
Hopefully I'm able to talk, unlike that last week where I couldn't develop words to come out of my mouth.
Only time will
tell. Just hope you last longer than you usually do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it's not the time, right? That counts.
And to start the show, we have a little discussion. Is Fortnite killing off every other esport out there? And what do they need to do to keep up with the hype? Before we get into that, though, join us on social media, would you? At The Center Ring for all of our Twitter. Our website, tcr.gg, has all the links to everything. Instagram, Twitter, Discord, you name it, we probably have it. You can even hit us up on our little email pad there. Let us know what you think of the show. We would love to hear from you. And again, I will always remind everyone, we are going to be at DreamHack Austin this coming weekend. So if you are going, be sure to hit us up because we would love to say hello and, meet you, the listener. But for now, let's get into our discussion of the show, shall we? Because we kind of just brushed on it. I think it was, what, 2 weeks? Was it last week? We did two episodes last week, so now I'm all thrown off.
A week or two ago.
Okay. Where Fortnite announced, or I guess I should say Epic Games announced, that they're going to invest $100 million of their own money into the esports scene. So divvy that up between X amount of tournaments that are officially sponsored by them. Right? Did I get that right?
You did. Yeah.
Okay. And that was really kind of all we said. But in reality, I was kind of sitting on it, and I was like, man, that kind of warrants more than just a little bit of a discussion or just a little headline news on E-News.
A little E-News mention.
Yeah, because first of all, that's huge. Like, for a company to put up $100 million of their own. Now, they make that more in a month. They make more than that in 1 month. So, okay. But I'm not here to be petty, right?
It's a million it's a, lot a day of, on mobile,
yeah.
Is what they've said.
And it's a lot of money either way, right? So I'm not going to be like, they could have done more. But that's not really what I'm discussing here. What I'm more so curious on, because right when it was announced, you saw a lot of other pros, right? From all scenes, Counter-Strike, Call of Duty, Dota, you name it, right? Anyone who plays the game or any professional was like, huh. Maybe it's time to switch games, right? And that got me thinking, is this how we see other esports die off by Fortnite dropping $100 million into their tournaments?
In year one.
In year one.
You know? So if you're looking at long-term growth and you're like, man, they're doing this right now, and if this game continues to grow, maybe not at the same pace, but even just hold steady, you can only imagine what year two, year three would be like when you start to get other types of tournaments in that are not sponsored by Fortnite.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't even had like an official tournament. I know they've done like, you know, like celebrity type tournaments, right? Fortnite has, but we haven't really seen anything like official yet. But I mean, they pretty much just have to screw that up in order for it not to succeed, right?
Like, I don't even think if they screw it up, it would matter at this point.
I mean, the popularity is just so hype right now. It's insane. Everyone's playing this game except for me and you, Tim. We're holding out strong.
I play. I just play at request.
Well, maybe I'm the only sucker that hasn't.
He dabbles, yeah. I should say.
I play maybe at a dream request. Hack. If a Nooch texts me and says, hey, Fortnite, I'll get on, you know. It's just...
well, kind of like Brett mentioned, one thing that we're seeing in Fortnite that is a little unique is the celebrity aspect, right? Like they're having those pro-am tournaments. You don't see that with any other esport. I mean, from thinking to Counter-Strike, Overwatch, Rocket League, like maybe a random mention here and there, but not so rampant and widespread, you know, in
the higher
ranks.
I think the next one you saw that in is League of Legends, right? Like, I mean, that's how Rick Fox got involved, right? There are NBA stars that do it, but I agree. You don't have the social
like
media.
Gordon
presence.
Hayward also, I guess, plays a lot. You know, there are a couple, but not like, I mean, you're talking about from DJs to athletes
right.
to movie, you know, musician. I mean, just everything.
And
just
you don't have the social
just...
presence, right? Like, I feel like, and I've always made this argument against MOBAs, right? Where Gordon Hayward can say, man, League of Legends is awesome. Everyone should watch it. And so his fan base is like, sure, I'll check it out. Oh, dragons and a cat lady? No, I'm good. Bye. Where Fortnite doesn't have that nerd aspect. Does that make sense? Fortnite
yeah,
is...
and yet it's easy enough to watch.
Yeah.
It's, and understand
You don't
happening.
Have to feel like, man, I'm going to have to, like, get into some weird things in order to get into this kind of weird-looking game. It's very easy to watch, but more from a, like, I think of, like, people always say Counter-Strike is a dying game, and whether they're kind of being sarcastic or if they're serious, I've always never really listened to it because they'll still pull in ridiculous amounts of numbers when they stream on Twitch. You know, they'll still be a top contender. But I'm starting to wonder, is Valve really doing what's best for Counter-Strike's future, right? We discussed it earlier in our kind of pre-show discussion throughout the day that the learning curve just to get into Counter-Strike is steep. And I'm not saying they need to change any of that for the game to become popular, but think about, like, if you were a kid, you probably, A, already play Fortnite because it's free to play, okay? You can be fake good at it, meaning you can make it into, like, the top 20 in a game without really doing anything, right? Like, you're not dropping 30 kills, but you're in the top 20 with kind of just being running around. And with
the barrier to entry in battle royale games in general is super easy, right? Like, you can camp. My father-in-law tried it out and just camped in a building and got top 15 and was proud of himself. You know?
That's exactly right. But if you say, hey, why don't you try Counter-Strike? Like, see how long that lasts before either A, he gets cussed out, or B, just straight up kicked from a room.
Or he's nauseous.
That's a. I mean,
my cousin came over and played this weekend. First thing I had to do, and Kelly called me out for it, is I had it on the speakers. I didn't have the headsets on it, so I wanted to know what was like, you know, talk to him and whatnot. Well, I forgot to mute it. Oh my god!
You can do a casual.
Like, the words that he heard. I put him in deathmatch. Threw him in deathmatch. The words that he heard within 10 seconds of entering the game, like, oh. Dear Lord, I had to mute it. He had no game sound while he played because I couldn't mute all.
That's any game, though, right? We kind of also discussed that earlier today. Like, any game is going to have that community. But I do... It is funny. But I also think, though, like, with the way Epic is treating it, right? So imagine you are a kid, or not even a kid. I'm talking maybe low tier two, like low Mountain Dew League caliber of a player, right, in Counter-Strike.
And shots fired at Tor.
And you also play Fortnite. Chances are you're probably pretty good, right? If you're a streamer or whatnot, you just play it enough and you have that natural ability for a shooter. Well, all of a sudden, you see Valve, where they still only do $1 million for their majors that they do twice a year. Every other tournament, the schedule is grueling. You got to put in 60-plus hours a week to play the game, and you're traveling constantly, and you might get a couple $1,000s here and there. Again, if you're like those tier two teams. And then here's Epic saying $100 million, right? Like, that is building the foundation where I think is getting stripped away from Counter-Strike. Like, Valve is letting their foundation kind of crumble beneath them. And I think when you're looking, you know, 5 years down the road, who's going to be grandfathered into Counter-Strike to where it's like, yeah, I like, how many kids do you meet below the age of 15 or even hear about that it's like, yeah, I play Counter-Strike every day?
Yeah. It's an older looking game, right? Like, only like time will tell, you know, give it like three more years. It's just an older looking game. I mean, Fortnite is more appealing to even from a visual standpoint. I mean, the battle royale genre is, you know, taking off, but just from a visual standpoint, like, you know, 13-year-old Brett would probably want to play Fortnite over CS right now.
The Counter-Strike has stood the test of time, right? Like,
Yeah, you're
understand
right.
That it's been there for like 20 years, right? We're talking about CSGO in particular, but Counter-Strike itself has proven that it's going to be around because there's no game like it. The issues with Counter-Strike from a lower, you know, talking about people switching over, is like you said, even take Mountain Dew League out of the equation, let's just say, there's so many like people that are on the verge of, you know, making MDL, but they're not making anything. I mean, and they're probably putting in hours and hours and hours, I mean, thousands of hours a year into these games. I think with Fortnite, I feel like if you're a really good shooter, that's one less thing you just have to learn going into the game. You just have to learn how to build, essentially. Look at Jason R is kind of a prime example of that. Like, Jason R has ridiculous aim in the game, and now he's getting offers to join Fortnite teams, you know, and he's contemplating it, and it's just, Jason R has the opportunity to play with Optic and didn't want to do it for a streaming career, and he's potentially looking at joining a Fortnite team because there's just so much available to him. But I don't think Counter-Strike's problem is they're not progressive. The UI, they said the new UI was going to be out in 2017. Here we are, you know, halfway through the year into 2018, nothing. No new maps get added to the map pool, so it gets stale from a viewership standpoint. Yeah, they take
away
maps from us.
They take away map pools.
And then they just update an old map to give it like a fresh look, essentially. But then everybody hates it because your FPS is not 350, you know, every round that you're playing. So Counter-Strike will be fine. They just need to be progressive a little bit. Hire on some people to make maps for you. Buy some maps from some of these people that own good ones. That, you know, Tusken, for example, it's been asked for a million times. They have the money. They've taken it from us. It's in their pockets. I've given them more than I would like to think of at this point.
It seems like every time there's an operation and they add seasons, right, into like a playable map, how many times do you hear people say like, man, I actually really enjoy seasons. Like, do these a few tweaks here and there, and this is competitive pool ready, right? And with, like you said, Anuj, with the way Counter-Strike is, half of it's all open code anyway, where it's all, you know, community-generated maps. Valve doesn't even have to like really work that hard to do it, but they are just so tone deaf on as far as ways to progress the game forward. Instead, they come out with an operation like what, 7-8 months ago with
the
canals.
Last operation was 1 year ago.
Okay, so it's been okay. It's
week.
Been that long. Okay,
a whole year for
where
the
they
last
added
operation.
Canals, which was so unanimously a god awful map.
Still is.
They haven't fixed it at all, where everyone instantly were like, no.
Nope.
Yeah. And that was a Valve-made map, correct?
Yeah, that was.
So they made the map, probably thinking, man, this is great. We're finally adding a new map. Can't wait to see the pros play this. And it was horrendous. just even from like the basic design.
One of the biggest things, man, to me that bothers me is when you look at, you know, and y'all could probably speak more to this on Overwatch, but let's just, again, use Fortnite as the example here. When they're talking to their community, they're listening, right? They take that feedback and then they implement it. Even if it's on a trial run, things are tried. Like, they're experimenting all the time with new game modes, new weapons, taking weapons out, putting weapons in. Counter-Strike or Valve in general, they feel like it's the community versus them. And it's like, if the community suggests it, then no, we shouldn't do it. Like, we don't
want
to
give in to the community
pressure.
You guys don't understand how it
pressure.
Is, right? You don't understand
instead
how
of
this
wanting
works.
To, like, they don't even have a community manager for this billion-dollar game that they have there. And it's just a constant struggle. Like,
and
nobody
they've even
wants
had,
to listen.
Like, offers. Like, Launders was like, here's my resume. Here's my pitch. Hire me to do this. And, like, everyone supported it. The community 100%. Supported it and saying, look, we would respect this guy running it and telling us things. And Valve was just, it never was brought up ever again.
No.
I just don't understand where, if you are a younger or newer or lower tier player who are like, because you see it all the time on Reddit, right? Like, oh, I'm, you know, 14 and I want to start practicing to go pro. What should I do, right? What is it that is... you know, what makes the Counter-Strike attractive to the newer player, right? Yeah, it's stand at the test of times, but everyone is saying that is like 25 and older. Or like they're Stewie, where they're just a prodigy in the game and have gone pro. You know, at a
yeah,
super
I mean,
young age.
There's not a good casual mode. There's not a good ranking system in the game. There's a lot of cheaters. And then on top of that, the game is so uniquely difficult from a, you know, a physical and a mental standpoint. So you have to be able to overcome all of that just to then play the game enough to have a chance at going pro, right? Like, the barriers to entry in Counter-Strike are just so difficult. Oh yeah, and by the way, you got to win 10 matches to have a rank, and then you can finally sign
and
up
that
for
is,
Prime at
that's,
some point.
That's God yeah. forbid if you even realize... that, oh, you mean the actually good players play on a third-party software that I have to either pay for or download and join their servers? That's if you even realize, like, oh, I got to go to
Faceit if I really want to play. Because
yeah, and how is a new player supposed to know this without having a friend that's currently playing?
Yeah.
You know, like, they probably see Counter-Strike on the Steam boards all the time. Like, oh, wow, this is a popular game. I don't have any friends that are playing it. Let me try it out. Imagine if we didn't know each other and we all tried it for the first time. How unbearable of an experience that would be. Like, it would just be really, really tough.
I feel like oh, go ahead.
I mean, yeah, I mean, just me as an example. I got into CS, like, late in the game. Like, my first experience with CS was CSGO. And, I got frustrated. Like... it's just the learning curve is so high. Like, you have to, you know when you use, you know, all your utility, and then, you know, there every weapon has its own unique spray pattern, and it's just got to the point where it's like, you know what, I'm just gonna move on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, and
don't get me wrong, I still love the game. Like, oh yeah, I absolutely yeah.
When
love
did you start
the game.
Playing Anoush? When did you start
right
playing
after, right after beta came out, so like really early. I played 1.1, 1.2.
So I got in 1.3. I got in 1.3 and was completely sold with 1.6. Source came out, and I thought it was complete garbage, and I never played it. So I was one of those guys that constantly played 1.6, even with Source.
I feel like I'm one of the few that's been playing before Steam was a thing. You know, there was no Steam when I started playing Counter-Strike. So it's been a long time. But yeah, I mean, the game has everything it needs from a competitive standpoint to be the best esport. I think right now, still from a viewing perspective, it would be really a tough sell for somebody to convince me that there's a better esport to watch, you know, than Counter-Strike right now. It's just all the other stuff behind it. And it's like, then you see a game like Fortnite come into the scene and you're like, wow, like, this is how it should be run. Like, these guys are so active and they're so willing and listening, and they're trying to bring in players, where it's just, you don't get that same vibe, you know, from a Counter-Strike. And even Blizzard's pretty tight-lipped for the most part, you know, like, they don't, you know, it's not like, again, I think Fortnite is just really rare situation where the developers are really active in the community and it's generating more hype because people are getting what they want.
Yeah, but I think where Blizzard does that Valve doesn't, right, is they have that clear path to pro, right? Like, you are top 500, you're eligible to be voted into the World Cup, you can join the open bracket, which is official, like, Blizzard ran, and then you go into the Contenders League, and that's pretty much where the Overwatch League is directly pulling their talent from, with farm teams, and there's a whole farm system built in there, to where if you were young, you knew where to start, right?
Oh, yeah. Counter-Strike has no league, right? It's the league's your third-party league, so you don't have any way to grow organically while playing the game. You have to use other services to notice.
Nobody's getting scouted out and, you know, just standard competitive, right? Like,
yeah. No, I mean, like most... the best Counter-Strike player could be some streamer right now with five people watching him. And it's just because he doesn't go through the mess of whatever league you have to go into, or ESEA, or climbing the ESEA ladder, right? That's what everyone looks for, like the FPL or anything like that, to get the best pros, which is just maddening that you have to go on a completely different third-party system. Like I said, I would love to hear someone who,
Lops or Stewie, these guys, look at how they came up. Like, how rare is it to be noticed that way?
Did they get scattered out in MM, or did or were they like scattered out in?
No, they were all scattered out. No, ESEA
was found and straight up face it. Like, he made it to FPL on his own.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's how most of them get started.
The ESEA ranks.
Right, and that's how most of it starts. But again, those are, you named two people out of how many that, you know, that are trying, or and again, those guys you have the argument of. Well, they've been playing, you know, for a little bit. I know Stewie started with Go, right? He started with CSGO.
Yeah. But
back then was so different, right? It's so difficult to compare when they got started to kids just now getting into esports. Because even then, like, how long has CSGO been out? 5-6 years?
Yeah, right around there.
Somewhere around there. So you got to think of the esports landscape back then, right? It was not what it is now. You couldn't be a kid thinking, I want to go pro in that and expect to make a living off of it. Like, if you actually had, a parent sit down with you and said, this isn't going to work out.
Which, by the way, even right now, like, to try and be a pro in Fortnite, it's a 1 in a billion odds, basically, of doing it, you know? So it's difficult, but you'll know your path to be able to do it, at least, right?
I would love to hear it from an unbiased, someone who doesn't have a lifetime... you know, invested into Counter-Strike like we do, right? And hear it from, like, someone who is just getting into the scene of, like, what attracts you as a young player to Counter-Strike? What is Valve doing to capture that young player base and creating that foundation? Because realistically, you go to a Counter-Strike event, you do see, I say, older people, like 18 and up looking people. I don't think you nearly see as many young people as to where if you were go to, like, a Fortnite or a Rocket League or things like that, you see that younger audience who is watching and playing these games. It makes me worried that even if they come out with a new one, I mean, Counter-Strike has pretty much been the same since release. Apart from, like, some balance updates and things like that, but... I don't know.
I should get that guy from Swag's new team, that 15-year-old that they signed. Ask him how the heck he did it.
Yeah.
15.
But even then, like...
He was born in 2001.
You think
he's... Oh my god, he was born when I graduated high school.
You think he's looking towards Fortnite and thinking, maybe I could do this on the side. So I don't know.
I mean, anybody can be money whipped, right? Like,
oh yeah.
That's what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, but again, though, why are you starting to play the game in the first place, right? Or to think about going, like, competitively in it, right? That $100 million doesn't seem like a bad thing to go for. So, I don't know. My concern was, is Valve getting left behind by their own devices by just not implementing anything to try to grasp that younger generation, the foundation, and things like that?
and build hype around the game again.
To make people want to learn the game. That's really what it is. Right. People have no problem playing the game. It's learning the game. There is so much to Counter-Strike about the... I mean, Brett, you've even mentioned it. Like, when you started getting into it, we tried explaining it to you, but it's like, all right, go in this spray server. You just practice your sprays.
Yeah.
Okay, now you got to learn the economy. Oh, my God, why did you buy this round? Okay, why didn't you buy this round? Why didn't you do a soft buy? Great, now you're below 3,000. Now you're screwed the entire game. You know, it's, there's,
oh, by the way, and learn how to line up every smoke on every map.
Now there's smokes and a pop flash and bunny hopping. And,
like everything, yeah, like everything. Like the player base is stable. It's just I'm worried about the barrier to entry kind of going forward with people having so many options.
I mean, I don't even know, like, the player base is getting unruly, right? Like, their players, their professional players are, like, super salty right now because, like, their schedules suck. Like, these are your ambassadors to your esport, and they're upset, right?
I feel like everybody from the casual, I say casual, like, Anuj and I, right? We're casual. We're casual competitive CSGO players, right?
I'm hardcore 24/7.
Like, when we play, we are definitely on, like, the major stage. Like, we want you to win.
You guys gave those guys a run at DreamHack Austin last year, right? That was
close. We gave one team a run. The other team, we got one round off of, and I think that's because they let us.
They felt bad.
But they were
also the number one seed in the tournament.
Yeah, they were number one and, like, played ESEA Open or, like, pretty high in it, and it was ugly. But, yeah, no, I mean, so we play competitively in the sense of that we want to win, and I feel like we're okay at the game. So I think our opinions are a bit biased as far as it, but I feel like with Fortnite being the monster that it is, I really don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. And even if you thought it was, like Brett, you just said, anyone can get money whipped. And you think if they just keep throwing up $100 million every year, right? They could do like a TI and offer a $100 million prize pool for one tournament. And you're going to get every top pro wanting to play in it.
Mm-hmm. Look, Fortnite's going to get bigger before it gets smaller because they haven't even gone into the competitive Wait till like these tournaments start coming on Twitch and Fortnite starts sponsoring them and they're on their, you know, they're on in the game. They have like special events and, you know, the game is already free to play. So you have ages, people, you know, you see some of these YouTube videos and I swear some of these kids are probably 5-6 years old. And then on the back end, you have people as old as 50-60 years old that are able to get in and play. So the game's going to get bigger before it gets smaller.
Fortnite hasn't even tapped into its esports pocket yet.
No.
Like, they haven't even touched the surface of what they could do as an esport. And I feel like all these other ones are just going to be completely left in the dust by a dwindling player base that is just going to pale in comparison to when Fortnite, whenever they want to flip the Switch, then they're going to be the top dogs. And you can see a future in Fortnite where with these other games, and when I say other games, I'm really only thinking about Counter-Strike and possibly Call of Duty, even though they look like they might be going in the right direction. It's just, Valve is too slow. It's like you said, Anuj, they're just not progressive at all. So, I don't know. I'd be interested, like I said, to hear from an unbiased, unsalty point of view. So if you, what are your thoughts as a listener as far as two questions? Fortnite taking over esports and Valve not setting up the proper foundation for CSGO or Counter-Strike's future. So you can let us know on Twitter at the Center Ring. And we will love to have a discussion or even join our Discord and we can have a little bit more of a chat. That is always good too as well. But for now, that's enough Fortnite discussion for one show. It's the moment everyone's been waiting for. It is Brett's, what are we calling this? Rocket League Season 5 Championship.
Championship Series Season 5 Rocket League. What's up? All right. Hi, everyone. This is your TCR official Rocket League expert. Not really expert. I'm dabbling. But yeah, it's coming up June 8th. It's going to be in London. This will be the second time that Rocket League's been played in Europe. Mostly, I guess, it's dominated by the North American scene. But this is an event that's sponsored by Psyonix. Think for listeners, I guess, that don't really play Rocket League a whole lot. Think of Valve-sponsored majors, right? It's like that.
Yeah, they're totally the game sponsored developers. By they're
right,
so
right.
They're
so tournament. they put up the money. They're the front runner. So it's teams are playing for $500,000. Well, it's a $500,000 prize pool, but they split it between regular season and their playoff. So $250,000 prize pool for regular season. They kind of split that up, depending on seeding, and then other $250,000 they give out to winner of the series championship. So Rocket League, they do things a little bit different than like a traditional esport. For those that play Rocket League, probably play soccer or watch soccer. It's a lot like European soccer, where they actually have promotions and relegations, and there's the rival championship series, which is like your, if you watch English Premier League soccer, do you guys watch Premier League soccer?
Yeah, I think I'm familiar with it.
Think of like Coca-Cola League, right? That's your rival series team. So if you make, I believe it's top two in that league, you get a chance to play in the regular season for the Rocket League Championship Series to have a chance to play in their playoff. So the way that this works, how we got to where we are now is there are six teams in NA and EU that go on to play in this playoff bracket. The regular season is seven matches, round robin. Okay, so it's not a very big season. So every team plays each other, and it's based on a point system. The top two teams in NA and EU, they go on and they automatically qualify for the Rocket League Championship Series tournament that's happening in June.
So you're doing great, by the way. So if we had to expedite this a little bit. So with the looking at the final teams that made it, then for EU, you have Team Dignitas, which was actually just picked up. They were Gale Force. Dignitas bought the roster straight out, like a couple weeks, not even a week ago, right? Probably just about a week ago.
This has happened to all two big purchases happened in May. There was the Gale Force and Dignitas move. But for those that have watched Rocket League for a while, you may know this name, Mocket Esports. Mocket Esports was bought out by Raynaud Vitality, which you may know they are affiliated with Team Vitality. Have you heard of them at all? No?
Maybe. Not off the top of my head. Okay. If I saw their logo...
They're in pretty much every esport out there. They're out there.
No, you are selling me on it.
But
I think that's pretty crazy, though, that, because I know, like I said, I don't watch a whole lot of Rocket League, but I do know the top dogs, and I knew Gale Force for a long time. They're the number one European seed going into the playoffs right now. That's pretty impressive that Dignitas can just go in and sweep up, because Gale Force isn't a super small esports organization. I mean, they were the top dogs in Heroes of the Storm. So I mean, I guess if you're best at Heroes of the Storm,
good MDL team for CS, that's pretty competitive.
But they don't have Philadelphia 76ers money like Dignitas does. They just unzip
Rocket
their pants
League,
and put that on the table.
Rocket League. They're getting sponsorships. A lot of big companies are wanting to sponsor, and Rocket League matches are on TV. So, that's going to attract, just like Overwatch, that's going to attract the big investors and teams like Complexity, Dignitas, they're naturally going to get, you know, their hands into it, right? Like, that's just going to bring in.
Yeah. I mean, you see that with, you know, what we spent the whole 30 minutes discussing on the show with Fortnite, right? Look at all these organizations that are just getting into. It's funny. So if you look at, I'm going to actually pull this up right now. DreamHack Austin. Look at the PUBG teams that are going for in PUBG to DreamHack Austin. And like some of the organizations are, I don't want to say funny. That'd be disrespectful, especially to our buddy James. But like the Pittsburgh Knights, and this is taking forever to load here. Pittsburgh Knights, Wildcard Gaming, Ruski, like, oh,
you
Team
don't
Vitality
know those
will
teams
be there. Now? That's what I'm saying, though. It's like you get, I mean, even Tempo Storm, which for the most part, you don't really see that very often as much anymore. It is always funny that when you see these early games, the teams that can afford to play in it and how quickly they get priced out by the other big dogs when,
yeah,
when it has any type of publicity and success.
Yeah, and you know, with PUBG, they, I mean, they're unlike Fortnite. I mean, Fortnite, you're going to have teams that pretty much like big dogs are going to be in that. Like,
so who
right from the
who
beginning.
Are the teams then to watch for the these finals coming up then? I know, like we've mentioned, so, Dignitas, which is Gale Force, that's going to obviously be one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you got on the EU side, it's a little bit more top heavy. I mean, it's kind of like Counter-Strike in EU, where you have several teams that can make it. One of the notable teams that did not make it, and you know, if you watch Rocket League, you're going to know this team, Flipside. I mean, they won a finals in season two.
I've heard of Flipside.
Yeah, I think, and they got second place in season one. Yeah, so, and from a stat standpoint, like, they light up the score sheet. With goals, assists, they're one of the higher scoring teams, one of the more fun teams to watch. They're not going to be in it. They got knocked out. So on the EU side, you're really looking at, I mean, two teams. You got a couple of teams with experience, Envious. We're familiar with them. They got a couple of guys on that team with Rimco and Devo that have actually won championships with Northern Gaming in season three. So there's some winning experience there. And then on the other side, you got Dignitas, Gale Force. I mean, you know, they have
recent
success.
They won
success.
Season four. So they're defending champs coming back into it. So I think they're definitely going to be a kind of a must watch.
Yeah. And you got other teams like Reignout Vitality, which is Mocket. They're kind of like the bridesmaid. They're right there, you know, at third or second, but really can't get over that hump. So those are the two teams to watch in EU. You get over to the NA side, and really, it's anybody's game when it comes to the NA side of the bracket with NRG, Cloud9, which were the teams that had to win to actually get into this tournament. And then you have NRG and G2 as well. During the season, and really through the life of the, you know, the whole NA bracket, they are pretty much trading places the entire time. Maybe G2, they're kind of at the top consistently, but the other three teams, they flip-flop. They're very, very close in skill set. So, I mean, picking somebody on the NA side, you know, outside of G2, which just has the star power, it's really anybody's game there. So you got somebody to cheer for, Tim. You got your pick.
Yeah, no, I think they're my favorite. they're my TCR lock of series. The season five for the Rocket League Championship would be Cloud9.
Yeah.
So like, it's a lock.
It's our lock of the tournament.
Yeah. So I mean, you got the star power there, Tim. I mean, if the team really goes as Squishy goes, if he can just like light up, you know, the scoreboard, I mean, I guess if you had to compare it, I mean, it's kind of like Simple with Na'Vi, right? Like that team goes as Simple goes, Squish, you know, C9 goes as Squishy goes. So really could be anybody's game. I mean, with Rocket League, there's really not just one team out there that's just way better than everybody else, which, I mean, makes the matches fun to watch. Like you look historically, I mean, if you go and look at, you know, Rocket League or LCS, there hasn't been one team that's won it multiple times. It's always somebody different. So from a viewership standpoint, it's great. You know, you're not going to see a blowout, essentially.
Right.
Well, I say that, and to you, you look at the other two Oceanic teams, and Chiefs and Tainted Minds. I mean, they only get two. That region only gets two. I mean, basically for a reason, they like have half the amount of teams that actually participate in Rocket League. So, I mean, they only get two slots. And from a talent standpoint, it's like throwing Ty Lue in there, right? Like, we know why you guys made it. It's because of the region you play in, essentially. So you got those two clubs there that you don't really expect much from. So you'll probably see some blowouts there. But overall, you know, not a whole lot of blowouts going on. So, yeah.
Cool, man. Well, happy birthday, you know what? Memphis. I'm hope getting... you enjoyed that.
I can guarantee you there's probably did not. Maybe one listener did.
There's
but...
your Rocket League. we met our Rocket League yearly quota thanks to Brett there breaking down the championship. So who is your favorite, though? I mean, you said that, you went with the coward's way out of saying it's anyone's game.
But yeah.
Gun to your head, who do you have?
Gun to my head, I'm picking G2. Just from an experience standpoint, they got their captain in Krenovi, who has experience, has won before. You know, they have the number two. He was the number two MVP of the league. And their number three MVP of the league was JNAP. So, I mean, they just have the star power there. They have the experience. They've been together for a while. You can see there, Krenovi's been there since 2016 in September, and then, you know, the other two, Rizzo and JNaps, they've been there since February of last year. So they have the continuity going for them. They have the star power. Gun to my head, I'm picking G2.
Excellent. We're Boom. Looking forward to it. It will be fun to watch.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And
maybe, and Brett, you can do a follow up after the championship.
Yeah, I'm guaranteeing you people are going to want to hear that after my amazing...
chomping at the bit to be like, oh my god, was such on-point analysis.
All jokes aside,
right? Let's
do
the history of video games next time while we're at it, too.
Yeah, I mean, all joking aside, this is an esport that is growing, and that is fun to watch. Like, I want to put more effort into Rocket League because I think it has a future. I mean, the skill gap is high, you know, so... I will make an effort, listener, to be more involved in Rocket League.
Be that Rocket League guy. I will laugh. I told Brett last week, I was like, Brett, a listener wants you to talk Rocket League, so you're going to talk Rocket League. Because Brett always, you know, brags about just how much he knows.
Oh, yeah, you know.
And he goes, yeah, man, what kind of verb would you want me to use? Like, could I get technical with this? Will people understand? And then he puts a chart in the show notes, and he's like, let me know if you need any help explaining this. I'm like, you mean the chart with a giant key next to it explaining exactly what all the colors mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, from the...
I applaud you. I poke fun, but I applaud you for your love of Rocket League that just puts it on this pedestal of being so advanced that the simple man can't possibly understand.
Tim, I'll handle this.
Hey, you know what? If the listener wants more Rocket League, then I will put more effort into watching Rocket League and learn the scene more. Like, the NA scene, I know because, you know, these guys are personalities. They're on Twitch and, you know, they're really good about just explaining the game and getting people involved, but I don't really watch the EU guys a whole lot, so... But I will make an effort, guys.
Next, NBA 2K19 League Talk.
NBA 2... Hey, I've been watching that, too. Okay, you want to talk about it right now? Let's go... No,
definitely not.
Who wants to talk about that? Play music.
Good job, Brett. Good job.
Yeah, man.
We're all proud of you.
Thanks, guys.
For stepping out on that ledge.
Yeah. I'll be the RL guy, and got a noosh holding it down with COD. What do you got, Tim? What off the wall esport are you going to be the guy for?
I have e-news is what I have.
Tim has us, baby. That's what he's got.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
I outsource my knowledge to the experts. which is you.
Oh, perfect. Straight to India. I see what you did there.
So, speaking of e-news, there really wasn't a whole lot of news going on throughout the week, but CSGO did have a somewhat busy week when it came to roster moves. So, we talked to... Man, this two episodes last week is screwing me up. Did we talk about FNS last week?
Just in case.
When did we did the ESL? I know this didn't happen last week. FNS now is officially benched on Cloud9. We talked to him literally last weekend. I guess two weekends now. At ESL Dallas, saying how... You know, he was actually looking forward for a break because he hasn't had a chance to really sit down and practice and be the in-game leader he wants to be with the team. He says things are going okay given the circumstances, right, of just not having an actual practice.
He definitely got a break coming up.
And so they dropped him. And now it's rumored that NBK is going to be filling in with
trial.
Them on trial.
Isn't that kind of, you know, just... I mean, he got drug from Complexity, which Complexity from a Counter-Strike standpoint, I mean, they're kind of like tier two, right? But yeah. He was stable there and they snagged him. I mean, who's going to turn
CS9
down, right?
He had full roster control over there. Now we want to say Complexity is tier two. They got Stanislaw, they got Shazam, and had they had FNS, I mean, that's a team that could easily win MDL and go into, like, you know, had a really good chance.
That's actually a pretty promising roster.
Pro leagues. Yeah,
and now so, I mean, there's no you. I think you never finished your thought, but you were saying doesn't it seem kind of? There's no kind of about the situation. Cloud9 did FNS dirty,
like real dirty.
If I was FNS, I know like they're all very chummy on Twitter, saying like, hey man, you know we yeah, wish things worked out, blah blah blah. There would be no. Kindness with me on that one. I'd be like,
I wish
all
you
go
were
to
FNS. Like, I would have loved to see your Twitter feed if that happened to you.
On me? Oh my god. Bridges would have
awesome.
Been burnt. I would have gone scorched earth. I would. And then there's Jason Lake probably just like, huh. Well. So, FNS, how's that going over there at Cloud9?
Thanks for the buyout.
Thanks for that 200K. Yeah. It's stay hard, FNS. Hopefully he finds a home, because really I thought he was doing fine with Cloud9. Like, I was actually really thinking they were looking good again, given the circumstances that they just had no time to even sit in front of a whiteboard and try to plan things out. I thought
they've already announced that NBK will be calling in French, so that'll be tough for them to
calling.
Other drops, you had C's drop from Gambit. That experiment never really took off, I felt. And I don't really know where C's sits in after this. Being dropped from Na'Vi, went over to Gambit. I mean, what does he even have to offer?
I mean, experience.
Man. Yeah. Seeds was good when he wasn't calling. So I think if he just gets put into an actual more of a support role, or I mean, really that would be it at the moment, I think, in where he's at in his career. But I think he should go away from the calling aspect, because when he was calling, he played like MSL. So
yep,
come to NA.
And I believe you heard it here first on TCR that Olaf could be back sooner than we think. And by God, it was. Because Olaf is now joined up with FaZe again with Exit going to... did I type that wrong? It's not Exit. It's Exist.
Exist.
Joins Fnatic. That was just a typo on my part, and I read it the way I see it. Exist joins Fnatic for Lekro. So,
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I'm in radio, man. That's exactly how it works. when sales gives you a copy and they say, read this because the sponsors want you to read it, they better write it well, because if not, I'm reading exactly how it looks on that paper. So Olaf is back. We just discussed a couple episodes ago that it's going to be pretty awesome to see when he makes his return, because Guardian really talked him up in our interview. Like, he was like, oh, he's been playing, he's back, he's going to hit the ground running. So I expect to see good things from FaZe. So, oh, and one other thing. This happened, I think, last week or so. So we might be an episode behind. But Envious officially dropped their Halo roster. So if there was any other indication you needed that Halo is a dead game and a dead esports scene, Optic and Envy dropping their teams is probably the only two things you need to know.
That's all you got to know.
Like, they were two of, if not the two best teams in Halo, and they dropped their roster. So things aren't looking good for Halo nowadays. So there's rumor that with Halo 6, they're really going to bring back that esport atmosphere and have split screens and focus on multiplayer, but isn't that what they all say?
Yeah, wait till we see it.
We'll just have to wait. We will have to wait till we see that. But I'll tell you what you don't have to wait for. Brett's part two of Rocket League, because he's going now.
Man, I'm already studying, guys. Don't worry. I got you, fam.
That will do it for this episode 108 of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you listened all the way through, I love you. If you skipped around, I love you all the same. Let us know how we did on Twitter at The Center Ring. Let Brett know how he did for his own emotional stabilization.
Yeah, I'm my own worst critic. I was terrible.
Let him know. Make him feel better about himself.
You really don't have to, guys. Fine. At Pirate Mushroom on Twitter, guys.
Yeah, you can. That's me. At The Center Ring on Twitter, tcr.gg for our website. Again, we will be at DreamHack Austin early, bright and early Friday. We will set up. You'll see a big banner saying The Center Ring. Come say
we'll
hi if
see
you're
Cajun
there.
Cajun hanging out with us.
Yeah, our buddy Cajun. He said he might stop by. I'll see if I can make time.
MBD.
But if you are going, I encourage you to say hi to us. We'd love to share a drink and whatnot. But for Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.